Hello everyone. Let's wait a couple more minutes for others to join the meeting. In the meantime, I will share the screen with the agenda. We have more people joining. I think we are close to our regular group. So since the agenda is, hold on, let me close this, is full for today, let's start. As always, please add your name to the attendees list. And if you can volunteer to take a note, that would be highly appreciated. Jennifer, would you be able to help with notes today?
Yeah, I can help again.
Thank you, Jennifer. And I think we need to discuss what we are going to do with the note takers because we have Corey and Jennifer mostly volunteering, and it would be good to have someone else contributing as well. Good news is that we have Lola Estelle joining the group. I don't know if she joined our meeting today, but she will be attending Bella meeting, and she will be taking Christine Tobias' spot on the documentation working group, which means Lola will be working on the documentation for lists up. And also for you updating user records, about editing user records. Our agenda, as I said, is full. We have list and bulk edit on the agenda. Kathleen, do you want to switch or do you want to preserve the order?
I would say you could do bulk edit first, and then I can demo the APIs at the end.
Okay, I'll try to leave you. How much time do you need, Kathleen?
10 or 15 minutes, I would say max, and that's if people have questions as we go along.
Okay, I hope I will not use the entire 40 minutes, but let's see. So, this is not what I wanted to do. I wanted to start with the short demo of the bulk edit profiles. This is still under development. There are a couple of functionality that is not finished, like cloning or duplicating the existing profile, and also support for instances with source mark that is still on our to-do list. But the functionality that was already implemented has some meaningful functionality as well. So let's navigate to settings. And under the settings, we have the profiles. This is something we saw before. And we have a couple of predefined profiles that were created today. One of them is marked as locked. It means it cannot be edited by users who don't have required permission. I'm logged as a Deco admin in this environment, so I do have permissions to edit or delete. I will demonstrate this functionality during our next meeting. For today, I would like us to take a look at this profile. I have created the profile that is unlocked and will suppress from discovery item records and will change the status for long missing. If we want, we can edit. Editing will enable this, or if we cancel it, we can delete. For now, don't. Let's keep it as it is and navigate to bulk edit. Here in under query, we will be looking for records that have status missing, and we will be updating them to long missing. Build a query, items and status. Missing. We have five records meeting the criteria. And now we have additional option under the action menu, select items bulk edit profile. That takes us to the list of existing profiles for this record type. So we are selecting updating status to long missing. And it takes us directly to Are You Sure form, when we can preview the changes. So let's check the suppress from discovery is true. And the status will be long missing once we commit the changes. So let's commit the changes. And the records have been updated. That's it using profiles for bulk editing. Any questions or comments? If there are no questions or comments, I will move to mockups for scheduling bulk edit jobs. We talked about that during our last meeting. In the meantime, Kimi has created mockups that will help us guide to the entire process. There is a lot of them, and the link to those profiles is not only in our agenda but also directly in the Jira for scheduling jobs. So let's start with this. The first thing that changes is that action menu is now visible even before the records are identified for bulk edit. So this is the first change. When the user click on the action menu, they see two options: schedule bulk edit job and manage scheduled jobs. Let's go to the process of scheduling job. First, we need to identify records that we would like to be included in the job, and those can be identified either by list of identifiers or by query. Before we do that, let me go back. The user selects the scheduled bulk edit job, and that enables scheduling job mode. This banner show us, and this banner will stay until we get to the point that we are going to finish the scheduling of the job. This is to notify the user that this is not a regular bulk edit job, but we are reusing existing functionality. So the banner is here. User navigates to query to write the query that will be identifying records for a scheduled job. As I also said, it can be done by the list of identifiers. Behavior is at this point similar to what we are accustomed in Bugedit. User builds the query, and here user clicks builds similar query that I just show you, looking for records with the item status set to missing. What we see on the screen, we see only preview of 100 records. This is what we discussed last time. We don't want to show the entire record set because that for larger data set would take a lot of time. And also because we will be executing job based on the query, the values will change. So if this is a recurring job, one day there may be 100 records, the other day it will be just handful. So this is just preview. We are showing first 100 records. Then the next user clicks Run Query. The progress bar displays the progress. Again, this was only 100 records, so this should happen quickly. And now we are on the preview of matching records screen. Again, only first 100 records. User clicks on Actions menu. And the option here is select items bulk edit profile. Again, we get this screen with the list of existing profiles. User select the profile. And we are again on Are You Sure form, where the changes can be previewed. This is the existing behavior. However, here we can only see first 100 records. We can download it also first 100 records, not the entire set. Now we are adding the schedule. Here we see what query will be executed. We see the profile that is going to be used, so what changes will be applied. And then we have option to set a date and time. Let's say this is one-time job we want to run, and we want to run it at night because it has a lot of data. It may take longer, and we don't want to waste resources. Or the job may be reoccurring. If it's reoccurring, if we want to run this job, let's say daily, after we select reoccurring checkbox, we see additional options. One is daily, and then user can specify that they want to run this job every day or every other day or every 15 days, let's say. The other option is to run it weekly, and the behavior is the same, reoccur every number of weeks, and then we want the job to run on a specific day of the week. Behavior is similar for monthly. We specify what day of the month and how many number of months need to pass for the job to execute again. And the option yearly again occur every year on September 1st. So we schedule the job. There is a notification the bulk of the job has been scheduled successfully. And now a user wants to see manage jobs. Selecting the option ma manage scheduled jobs, change the UI a little bit, the left pane become a search and filter pane where the user can select narrow the list of scheduled jobs based on the record type, job type, or status. Let's say we selected recurring job. We have one recurring job. It's for items that is updating status from missing to long missing, and the job is enabled. The action menu that is present here supports three options: edit, disabled, delete. Delete is disabled here because you cannot delete enabled record, enabled job. You need to disable job first, and then you will be able to delete it. So we are here, we selected option for editing the job, and here we can change the date and time or recurrence. We cannot change the query or we cannot change the profile. If those need to change, then a new job profile will need to be created. Enabled job can be disabled. So if we disable the job, if we select disabled option, we are getting an error message or warning. User continues and disabled. The job becomes disabled. And now it can be deleted. The deletion option is enabled. If the user selects deletion, again, warning message about deleting. And if the user chooses to continue, the job is deleted. Here is another functionality that I would like us to add in Umbrella Leaf. Information about currently running jobs. Right now, we don't know, we don't have this functionality. The running jobs are being displayed on data export and data import, but not on bulk edit. What we want to do here is show not only the progress, but also to show in which state the bulk edit job is. Because very often it happens that the user uploads the file or identifies the records and does not continue further, or just specify the changes, preview the changes, and does not provide the and does not proceed. So here we are just in notifying the user what has been completed, what action is in progress. Once all are completed to 100, that will mean the job is completed. And the last part is our logs, the changes to the logs. We will add additional option, which is scheduled. And selecting scheduled obviously will show the jobs that are scheduled. However, they will be showing the start date in the future, and it will be the date of the first of the next execution of the job. The number of records and processed are empty because we don't know how many records will be affected when the job runs. And also, ended is empty as well. Actions menu are not populated because there are no actions at this point. If the job scheduled job completes, it will be available under completed. And for the oops, sorry. And for the actions, we will add two additional fields that will be included. All those files with identifiers, matching records, proposed changes in CSV and MARC format. This is the existing functionality, and also the updated records in CSV. We will also have updated in MARC as we implemented. Now, there are two additional files that will be available. One with the profile that was used to execute the job. The file will be in JSON format, so it will not be the format you see in the settings. It will be JSON format. And there will be also the query, if query was used to trigger the file with the query. Those two files are added because this is what we will need to implement the functionality we talked last time to trigger or to schedule bulk edit job based on the completed jobs. This will not be in scope of the work done for Umbrella Leaf. I have created a separate a feature for that, but we will be talking about this later. And I think this is the last mock-up that we have. And it was very quiet during this walk through the slides, through the mock-ups. Do you have any questions or comments? Go ahead.
Hey, a quick question. So for the very first one that you showed that has the new actions menu when you land at the app landing page, I was wondering, will that be like a new set of permissions of related to
So
that, or will
this is the question I would have. Do you think that those jobs, those who will be scheduling jobs should have as special permissions, or it should be anyone who can run the bulk edit job?
I think here it's going to be it could be the same person with, a couple of institutions, but other institutions it's not going to be the same people. So I think I'd like to advocate for just permissions, because it won't be the same people.
Okay.
I agree. Yeah, I'm in the same place as Jennifer, but I would agree. Having a job run without someone looking at the results, I think, requires a degree of trust greater than watching it happen.
Okay. So we will make it permission based. So that will be true for scheduling and managing scheduled jobs, or do you think it should be one for scheduling and one for managing? So is it possible that someone will be able to schedule but not able to manage jobs?
That's a good question. I don't know, maybe we start with it because you do it all in settings, right? So maybe we start with having the same permission for both, unless someone has a use case where that can't be.
It seems like it would be the same people in general. I mean, if it comes to it later on, it can be split possibly. Is that reasonable?
I'm wondering about the use case. Why would someone be able to schedule but not able to manage?
I can't think of one.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also think, you can schedule the job and then you think this is should not be a case. So without having access to managing scheduled job, you will not be able to delete or disable it. Yeah, I think we will add the permission for scheduling job, and the permission will include also managing. Any other comments? Go ahead, Jennifer.
So another comment, when you showed the scheduling, a year from now, like every month, all of that, my question is, will the query be updated as part of, being on a recurring schedule?
Oh, what do you mean the query would be updated? Query will be the same, but it will meet different records will be returned each time
That
it runs.
that's what I was wondering. So
Okay.
like if you run the will the query be run before like it the recurring action of that job? So let's like in this case you change things to long missing. So and then you schedule it, let's say every year, right? So next year it will run that query, get the record set, and then do the job. It Is that hopefully I'm explaining it right?
Yes, so this is a dynamic query, which means let's say we ran it September 1st this year, and we had 100 records that are missing and should be set to long missing. We run the update. Then on September 1st, 2026, we have only five records that were missing. So only those five records will be updated. So the query runs when the job runs. So when we start the bulk edit at 11 p.m., the query runs at 11 p.m. and retrieves the record that match the query. And then the changes defined in the profile are run on 11:05, let's say, if the record set is small. If the record set is larger, it will be obviously longer. Does it answer your question?
Yeah, that's perfect. Thanks.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you for your feedback. And I think, Kathleen, you can take it over now. I stop sharing.
Awesome. Thank you, Magda. So give me a second here while I make sure I share the correct thing. Okay, hopefully everybody can see my screen and I'll minimize
Yes.
some of these Zoom things. Okay, perfect. So today I wanted to do a quick demo of this feature right here, UX Prod 5315, which was allows you to be able to query both SRS or source record storage records as well as inventory records using FQM APIs. And this is originally developed for Trillium, but we have actually ended up backporting it to both Ramsons and Sunflower. So these API requests will be available in Ramsons, Sunflower, as well as Trillium. In terms of what will be available in the future, in Umbrella Leaf, we're looking at making some of this available in the List app, and then in future releases, building on on that. So right now there are some limitations in terms of what specific fields you can query and what is returned. And I'll sort of show you what that looks like. In the agenda, I linked to this wiki page. It specifically says it's for ECS, but it also this is true for non ECS environments as well. The only difference is that you wouldn't be able to get cross-tenant results. You would only get results from your the tenant that you're in. And so it tells you the specific requests that you can make, some example bodies, as well as it sort of breaks it down in a little bit more detail. And I'll walk through this. I also linked to the individual stories for the SRS bib, which is the Mark instance. These stories will break down the specific fields that are available for these SRS records. So if you want to see more detail about what these specific fields are, as well as some examples of the data, will be in that column all the way to the right. And so this is the one for the bib records. And this story is the one for the MARC authority records. So it's going to be extremely similar, but have some slightly different fields that are available for it. I don't think I linked this in the agenda, so I'm just going to put this in the chat real quick. This is a link to the FQM API docs. And so specifically for running a FQL query. And so I'm going to pop over to Postman to sort of walk through what these calls look like. And so for today's demo, I'm just going to be pointed at Snapshot. And oops. Sorry, I hit the wrong thing here. So I'm just going to get a new token that I can use. And so the first thing I'm going to do is this post call, which is in for the async query. And in the body here, I have the unique identifier for the entity type ID. In this case, it is for the MARC bibliographic record. I've got the actual FQL query that is being run. So in this case, the query is the SRS record state is equal to actual. So essentially, we're querying MARC bib records that are the current version and are available. And then fields here is the list of fields that I want to have returned with my request. So I'm just going to paste in that new token that I got, and I'm going to send this. And what it's going to do is it's going to return with a query ID, which I'm going to use in this get async call. So I'm just going to again paste my new token over here real quick. And then I'm going to come back and get my query ID here. And then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to replace this right here. And so I've got the query, the unique identifier for that query, as well as this include results is true. So when I send this request, what I'm going to get back, you can see here, we've got the various records that are being returned from Snapshot. So I can see that these are MARC bib records. I can see I asked it to return the created date, the state of the record, the ID of the record, the actual record content, which in this case is the MARC itself in JSONB format, as well as the external HRID for the records. And so that's how it would work for the MARC bib records. I'm going to pause here and see if anybody has questions before I show the equivalent query for MARC authority records. So I'm just going to come over here. I'm going to comment this out. Oops. I'm going to uncomment out my query for the MARC auth record. And so you can see here, it's very similar where I've got my entity type ID, I've got the actual query, and then the fields that I want to have returned. So when I go ahead and send this, I'm going to have a new query ID, which I'm just going to copy over to my get query async. I'm going to replace this right up here. So when I do that, so now I'm going to have returned the SRS or the MARC authority records. And so again, we can see here it's a MARC authority record. We can see the created date. That it's an actual record, the unique identifier, as well as, again, this is the JSONB version of the MARC record. These same APIs can be used for any type in FQM. So if you wanted to query, instance records or any other record type, all you would need to do is update the on this async query here, you just need to update the entity type that you're trying to query, as well as the actual FQL query that you're trying to run. Okay, and I see, looks like there is one question if you want to go ahead and ask, or if anybody else has any questions.
Yeah, I have like a half dozen questions, so I don't want to take up the entire time, or other people fill it or whatever. But if it's okay, I'll start, and please interrupt me whenever I should stop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm asking this from a developer perspective, not so much on Folio itself, although I've done some work on UI inventory, but on ViewFind and many other tools that integrate with Folio. And of course, there's a zillion tools out there that integrate with the inventory APIs, right? So I'm thinking it from that perspective. If you were using this to retrieve inventory records, so either instances or holdings or items, for starters, you said something about like some of the fields being returned, but not all the fields being returned. I might have misunderstood that. Is it returning the full inventory record or just a partial version of it?
So it depends on how you structure your query itself. And so like in FQM, like if we were to look at item records, for example, from inventory, there are a couple of different entity types that we have for item records. One is like a very simple basic item record. And so you could query it and return just a subset of fields on those item records, or you could have it return all available item fields that we have. We also have what we call composite entity types, and that's typically what shows up in the ListApp UI. And that's where it pulls in a whole bunch of additional data from other record types. And so, like for items, if you were to query that, it would return fields also from the instance or holdings records alongside it. And you can use the API to return, all of those fields that are available to be returned, or you can just do a subset if you're only looking for specific fields with your data. So you really have the option to return specific data or return anything that's available.
Okay, So that's helpful. So framing this from the outside developer's perspective, right? There's a couple different ways that we can get inventory data right now. First, there's the difference between the sort of business logic and storage level APIs, right? Like the ones that are slash inventory or the ones that are slash inventory dash storage, where the latter are returning the data more or less as is, and the business logic level ones, you know, are doing a little bit more processing or combining or so forth on them. Would you make the analogy that this is more like one or the other of those, or some hybrid combination?
You know, that's an excellent question, and let me get back to you on that one, because I want to make sure that I'm answering it accurately. So I want to double check what my gut feeling is on that before I misspeak on it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And then related to that, in addition to the APIs I was just talking about, there's also the inventory dash view APIs, which the idea is you give it, I haven't used these directly, but I know the idea is to return not just an instance, but its associated holdings and items at the same time, or some variation thereof, to be able to get the entire hierarchy at once. I see my connection is unstable. I hope you can still hear me. And so again, I'm just thinking of the analogy there from what you just described with the composite entity types. It seems like you could also do something similar with this new API. So I'm just thinking again of the use cases. If I'm an external discovery layer or an external tool that's processing an instance, and I want to get everything associated with that instance and all of its descendants, right? Does this new API change the recommended approach, that instead of perhaps looping over things recursively with the original APIs or using the inventory view APIs, maybe this new solution would be more efficient in some way or not? I'd like some guidance on that.
Yeah, that one I'll also have to get a better understanding of. I'm not familiar with the inventory view APIs. So that I don't know that I can speak to that super well in terms of what would be recommended.
Sure.
But I can follow up on that as well.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm not familiar with them either particularly. They were mentioned at a WolfCon presentation, I think last year, and all of the ViewFind and other external discovery layer people in the room went, oh, that would be useful to have known about, you know, to make our queries more efficient. So I'm trying to hit the ground running with this one, right? And see if again, this would make our queries more efficient. So that would be great to get an asynchronous answer on that. Just let me know, where should I look for said answer when you have it?
Yeah, I'll go back and I'll update the agenda once I have an answer, and I'll also post it in the Bella Slack channel so that it's in both places.
That's great. Thank you so much. That's all the questions I had. Thanks for indulging.
No, absolutely. Does anybody else have questions or comments? Okay, I'm not seeing or hearing anything. So that's all I had for today, unless anybody else has anything they wanted to talk about or go over.
Actually, I had one quick question. What version is this going to be available on?
It has been backported to Ramsons.
Okay.
I need to find out which CSP it was a part of, but it is definitely part of one of the Ramsons CSPs, as well as backported to Sunflower.
Thank you.
And I'll also post that in Slack, and I'll make sure the agenda is updated with it.
And Kathleen, there's a question. This is Ramsons Okapi, not Eureka, right?
see. Let me double check. I believe that this is functional on both Eureka and a copy for Ramsense, but let me double check that. Cool. I guess unless anybody else has anything else they want to discuss, we can wrap up a few minutes early today.
Awesome. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, everyone, for their feedback. And enjoy 15 minutes more of your day. And talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thanks. Bye,
Thanks,
everyone.
everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.